Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Title of the message tonight, Beware Lest Your Liberty Becomes a Stumbling Block. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read all 13 verses. The reading's a little long, but that's okay. It's better you hear from the Word than from me. And so what God has to say is more important than what I have to say. But there's one basic principle throughout this chapter, okay? And so the message is not real long. You might think with 13 verses it'd take me half the night. It will not. But it's important that we cover this whole thing so that you can get the full idea of the one principle that's put forth here, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, from whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray for your guidance today as we examine your word. Teach us, Lord, that we may fully understand, and that through that understanding we may apply it so that we live in a manner that honors you. Lord, we give you all glory and praise and thanksgiving, and we thank you most of all for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we look forward to and pray for His return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, through the years, I've heard this preached and taught, 1 Corinthians 8, as being that it teaches that you should not offend another believer. And that sounds really good, and quite honestly, if I can, I'm going to try not to offend other believers. I think it's a good practice. I think it's respectful, and so I'm going to try to do that. But here's the problem with that. There's always something that will offend somebody. Always. I mean, you know, and for example, there are King James only preachers and churches. Any other versions not authorized, and you're a heretic if you preach out of some other version than the King James version. Well, if I preach at a church like that, I will get out my King James version and I'll preach from it, try not to offend, but if they come to Victory, They're going to hear me preach out of the New King James Version. Sometimes the New American Standard Version. Or see, I realize it's a translation. The Bible was not written in King James English. The Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. And so they're all translations. Now, we do have the Word of God. But my point is this. You know, some people, that's a hill to die on. And others, music's a hill to die on. If we don't sing out of the hymn, we're not scriptural. That's what some people think. Or sing out of the hymn book. We're not, you know, it's just not acceptable. You can even offend someone if you sit on their pew. My point being is that if you serve the Lord long enough, you're going to offend somebody. You know? And the reality is that's not what this chapter is teaching. Yes, we should do our best to get along. Yes, we should do our best not to offend. But the point, the principle that's taught in chapter 8 deals with you doing something that causes a brother to stumble in his faith or his walk with Christ. And so with that in mind, we're going to begin there in the first three verses. And we're going to talk about knowledge and love. And Paul opened this book in chapter 1, verse 5, and he made the statement that the church of Corinth was enriched with all spiritual knowledge. They were a very knowledgeable group of people. And they were very proud of that fact. But listen, if knowledge is all you have, it's not enough. As a matter of fact, if you're not really careful, it will create an attitude of arrogance in you. Have you ever known somebody, you knew they were smart, but you didn't really like to be around them because you just knew they looked down on you because they knew they were smarter than you? Yeah, that's what knowledge does. And that's not what God has called us to. Sure, we want to have knowledge of the truth, but truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. You need those two things. You need truth, knowledge of the truth, but you're also, you must have love as you apply that knowledge. Ephesians 5:15 tells us that we're to speak the truth in love. And how is that accomplished? How do we speak the truth in love? Well, verse 3 there gives us insight to that. And the meaning of verse 3 is lost in translation. And the only way that I could get that meaning is retranslated. I want to give you what it actually says. Okay? What it says in the New King James is, "But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him." Okay? That's not the meaning. It's if anyone loves God, he has learned to know by means of him, is the way it should read. He has learned to know what? He has learned to know love. How? By loving God and God loving him. You see, that's the kind of love, if we're going to speak the truth in love, if we're going to have knowledge accompanied by love, then that's the kind of love it has to be. It has to be a God love. What does that love look like? Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, love gives. Love gives. And when we're going to apply knowledge in love, we're going to have to be ready to give. That's a hard thing sometimes, isn't it? Let's talk about what we know. Okay? What Paul was talking about, what they knew. Therefore, starting in verse 4, therefore, concerning the things, concerning the eating of things offered to idols. He said, here's what we know. All right? And to give you a little background, basically there were two ways in that day to get meat. You either got it from the marketplace that was expensive, or you got it from the temple that was at a discounted price. Now, believers being the faithful stewards that they are, right? We're going to go for the discount. And that's what they were doing in Corinth. They were buying that meat that had been offered to idols that was sold at a discount price. And Paul makes the statement, there's nothing wrong with that. He said, we know an idol is not real. An idol is not a real God. People can make up whatever God they want to make up. They can create whatever image they want to create. That is not God. That's a creation of man, right? And they knew that. The people in the church at Corinth knew that. Paul knew that. And since that idol was not real, it only made sense for them to buy that meat at a discounted price. Not only did they buy it at a discounted price, they would even go to the feast they would have at the temple of the idol. And so people would see them going to that feast and they were like, aren't those believers? And so it became a problem in the church. It would cause division, but more so it would cause someone who was not knowledgeable, a new believer, to follow that path. Now, here's the problem with that. Paul said in verse 7 and 8, he said, there's some that do not have that knowledge. And who he was talking about? He was talking about those recent converts. And where do you think they had made those new converts from? They made them from people who had worshipped idols in their past. They had worshipped in these idol temples, and so they had a history there. They'd come out of idol worship. And so if they saw another believer, let's say, eating at one of the feasts at the temples, and the believer's in there because it was just a meal to him, or they saw him buying meat that had been offered to honor idols in worship, it could go one of two ways. It could, they would think, well, those believers are hypocrites. And if that's what faith is, I don't want any part of it. And they would leave the church. You ever known anybody like that? I've heard people make that statement and I would try to correct them. But that's a sign of immaturity. You see, you and I are here. We know we're not perfect, right? Amen. We know we're not perfect, and we know we slip, and but some people don't understand that, and especially new believers. New believers will watch you, and to those new believers, you know, they think if you do it, then one of two things: you're either a hypocrite, or it's okay for them to do it. And that's the other thing that the people of the church at Corinth were facing. These new believers, they would see these mature believers eating this meat, and their thought was, well, you know, since they're doing it, I'm okay to do it. And so it would ultimately lead to them going back into the idol temples and getting involved in idol worship again. And ultimately, either way, whether they were offended or whether they were getting caught back up in idol worship because they saw other believers in there and they thought that's what they were doing, either way, the brother had departed the faith. That's why he said in verse 9, beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. That's the point of this whole chapter. You know, as a believer, as a mature believer, we have to watch ourselves because we are being watched. We're being watched by the world outside, but we're also being watched by those who are not mature in the Lord. And if they see something that gives them the opportunity, then who's accountable? The opportunity to fall into sin, then whose fault is it? Is it that new believer that don't know any better? No, it's that mature believer that who has allowed his liberty to lead someone else down a wrong road. That's what stumbling block. That's what it means. It means to something that causes another to fall into sin. They see you exercising that liberty, and Paul said in verse 10, and his conscience is emboldened to sin, resulting in they perish or they are destroyed or they're ruined. They see you do it. And so they go down that same path, but without your knowledge. Who's responsible? We are. We are. It has become, and we can back up and say, well, it's not sin. There's nothing wrong with it. And there may very well may not be. But if someone departs the faith because of something that I have done, even though that particular act may not be sinful, I am responsible. You see, that's what we need to be reminded today, is that it's not just my life. I'm not just responsible for the things I do. I'm responsible for the things that I present before others and cause them to be involved in. I truly am. That's what Paul says. Just because I can does not mean I should. Okay? Just because I can does not mean I should. Give you an example. Drinking. There is nowhere in the Bible that says thou shalt not drink alcohol. It's not there. Now that may offend you, but that's the truth of the Word of God. There are warnings. Proverbs 20:1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whosoever is led astray by it is not wise. But nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt not. Do you have that liberty? Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. I don't do it. I don't even have a desire to do it. But could you do it apart from sin? It's very delicate in that if somebody saw you do that, right? If somebody saw you and they said, well, Brother Doug did it, or you did it, and they head down the road, it must be okay because they do it. And then they become an alcoholic. Whose fault is it? According to what Paul said, it's my fault. So what am I saying? And it's not just that. It's whatever conduct. There are a lot of things that I could do as a believer that are not sinful, but they do not lead others in the right direction. And I love Paul's antidote for it. Right? Here's Paul's answer for it. Instead of bucking up and saying, I have the right, it's my life, that's not what he did. What did he say? Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat. That's pretty profound. That is very profound. I'll be honest with you. You know, it's not a problem for me to give up alcohol. I have no desire. Yeah? As a matter of fact, I think it smells really bad. And I don't want it. But anyway. But for me to say, if meat caused my brother to stumble, I would not eat meat again. That's a sacrifice. Right? Because I'm going to tell you, there are two things I love. One of them's meat, the other one's potatoes. Right? You take meat away, and I really like potatoes, but you know. But you see the dedication Paul had. And it doesn't matter what it applies to. Paul puts the responsibility of the care of new believers upon those who are mature in the Lord. I think we forget that sometime. We let people fall by the wayside, and we forget to make contact and follow up with them. We're responsible. Paul is saying, we're responsible for one another. So, the long and short of the whole thing is this. Whatever we do, we need to consider what somebody sees us doing. Right? We need to consider. I tell you, your kids are watching you. Yeah? Grandparents, our grandkids are watching us. And I'll be honest with you, I do not want to do anything that would lead my kids down the wrong road. But I certainly at this point don't want to do anything that would prevent my grandchildren from coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Whatever it is. And when I look at my grandchildren, being quite honest with you, if meat made my grandchildren stumble, I'd give it up. Yeah. Sometimes we as believers, we do have liberties. You know, we're not living under the law and the thou shalt nots. However, we are living under responsibility. We are responsible to our children, our grandchildren, our other church members, to new believers. We are accountable. Right? So let's be accountable. Let's make sure what they Let's make sure what they see in us will point them to Jesus Christ. Right? All right. We're going to have a verse of invitation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you. Will you come? The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you come? Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for all the liberties that we have. But Lord, at the same time, may we be mindful. So much so that we do not let our liberty lead someone astray. Help us to be responsible for one another. And help us, Lord, to live so as that everything we do, everything that people see in our lives, would point them to you and not away from you. Lord, we thank you for your word, that we may grow thereby. In Jesus' name.